Hello there. Welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. I hope you can come on in. Let's spend a little time together. This week, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter. The theme, Jesus the Good Shepherd. Now, I have to tell you, as I was praying about this show and reading over the readings, I struggled to come up with the theme. Obviously, there's a lot to be said about Jesus the Good Shepherd, but when I tried to tie the first reading, the responsorial psalm, the second reading into the theme, it was a little difficult. So I struggled with it, but I did pray about it, and I really believe that the theme of Jesus the Good Shepherd can be seen in all of the readings, and for that reason, the church pieced these particular passages together. So we'll see what happens. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide my words and to guide, to open all of our hearts to hear the message. But before we begin, I just want to thank you. I recently, I don't remember if I talked about it on this show. I knew I mentioned it on my daily podcast and my daily email reflection. I recently did a fundraiser for my full-time ministry, and the response was tremendous, and I'm really grateful. So I just want to talk to you a little bit, and I don't know how you listen to this program, if it's through the podcast or whether it's over the air, but I want to thank you for your prayers, for your contributions, and for your comments. I get a lot of feedback from the various podcasts that I do and my daily email reflection and feedback on the books that I've written. I'm just really grateful for all of your support. And that's not just financial support, although that's extremely important for me because this is my full-time job. I'm grateful for the financial assistance that you give me. I'm also grateful very much for the prayers, for the comments, and for your sharing my message with other people, letting others know about this ministry that, believe it or not, I say believe it or not for me, 12 years full-time Catholic ministry, and I am so grateful. So I just really wanted to thank you and let you know that I pray for you every day. And if there's anything that I could ever do for you, feel free to contact me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. If I can do something to help you, I absolutely will. But you can certainly count on my prayers. And I'm going to keep doing shows like this, which, from what you're telling me, are helping many people. So I'm going to keep doing it to the best of my ability. So thank you. Let's move on now, and let's turn to our Father in heaven. What a great privilege it is. I always try to make sure I set this up before we just jump into prayer. It's easy to start saying the words and not really picture that we are in the presence of God, that we are speaking to God, that He cares about us, that He loves us, that He's bigger than any problem we could ever face. And I want to really make sure we frame these prayers and start out by saying just that. So let's turn to our Heavenly Father right now, who loves us, who does care for us, and who can really handle these problems, these struggles, these difficulties that we have in life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, it is so great to be in your presence. What a privilege it is to have this conversation with you, to turn to you in prayer, knowing that you hear our requests and that you will answer in the right way and at the right time. Father, I turn to you today, and I lead us in prayer. We want to lift up all those who are listening today. We pray for all of those who have asked for our prayers. We pray for all of those who are sick, dealing with many different kinds of ailments. We pray for those who are lonely. We pray for those who are grief-stricken. We pray for those who are struggling to find meaning in life. Pray for those who are just lost, don't know about you, Father. We pray for the country, the United States. We pray for the world. We pray for our church. And Father, I ask you to, during this program, to lead me, to give me the words, to send your Holy Spirit to give me the words to use so I can deliver your message. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can be receptive to your message and respond to it in the way that you would like us to respond. Father God, I ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, As always, thank you for praying with me. Again, if you're just tuning in, I'm Gary Zimak. We do this 30-minute program each week as we look at the Sunday Mass readings. This week, we are looking at the readings for the fourth Sunday of Easter, the theme, Jesus the Good Shepherd. So I mentioned a little bit about my work at the beginning, and I wanted to thank you for all of your support. I want to make sure I direct you to my website in case maybe you're not familiar with my work, you want to find out more about it, you want to possibly invite me to speak at your parish. And by the way, I mentioned to you I have a new book coming out, Find Peace in Advent. It's sort of a give-up worry for Lent designed for the Advent season. That's going to be pre-orderable very soon. But what I would like to do is lead some parish missions, some Advent parish missions about the book, speaking about that topic. So if you are interested in booking a Give Up or Find Peace in Advent parish mission this Advent or any other parish mission throughout the year, or maybe bring me in for a talk for any of that, just head on over to followingthetruth.com and you'll find my contact information. All right. So with that in mind, or I should say with that out of the way, let's take a look at the Mass readings for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. So we still have about three Sundays left in the Easter season. Easter season is 40 days. It's a long period of time, and it's critical for us, and I say us because I struggle with this, to just remember what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. This is a huge event, and that's why the church gives us so much time to focus on it. Let's start with the gospel as we do each week. We'll let the gospel lead the way. And this is clearly going to be about the Good Shepherd. And then we'll look at the other readings and see elements of the Good Shepherd in each of those readings as well. The gospel is John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep." Now, I just want to pause it right here. We got a little bit more in this gospel. And take note of that because that's an important message for us today. Jesus sees a wolf coming. He sees his enemies about to put him up on the cross, to crucify him. He didn't run away. He was totally in control, and he gave his life up for you and I because we needed him to do that in order to be redeemed. That's the difference between Jesus and a not-so-good shepherd, a shepherd who is just a hired person who is taking care of the sheep. The good shepherd cares about the sheep and is willing to sacrifice even his own life for the good of the sheep. That's Jesus. He's the good shepherd. Jesus continues to go on and say, "I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me." He's talking about his flock, us, you and I. "I have other sheep, and I will lay down," "and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. Those also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." So you see this idea of Jesus being in control. Even throughout his passion and his death, he was in control. He could have stopped this. This was an act of love. This was voluntary. And I think you and I need to remember that this was not something that just happened to him. He was just not the victim, this innocent victim who, if he could help himself, would have done so. No, he could have come down off of that cross, but he didn't. And that's because this sacrifice was necessary for the sheep, for you and I, to be redeemed. Now let's go to the first reading from today's, or Sunday, let me try to get this straight. You know why I get mixed up sometimes? Because not everybody listens to this on the same day. So if I say this Sunday's readings, you might be listening to the program on Friday or on Saturday. So this weekend's First reading. How's that? Sometimes I talk myself into a corner. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, in his name this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved." Now, this first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, what happens is we see a crippled man who was cured in the name of Jesus by the apostles, and Peter is speaking out about it. He's talking about what means was used to save him. "This man was saved in the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified." He's talking to the people, you know, calling it like it is, and then talking about the fact that he was raised from the dead. And in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. So essentially what Peter's doing is establishing the power of Jesus as Messiah, in that he had the ability to defeat death. And then Peter goes on to say there's no salvation through anyone else. In other words, we needed Jesus Christ, or we need Jesus Christ as our Savior in order to be healed. The ultimate healing is the healing from what? From sin. So in order to be redeemed on the cross, we needed Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to do that. And we know that he did it while being completely in control. And, you know, I'm saying it a lot, but it's such an important concept for us to remember. The stone that the builders rejected, the people who crucified him, they rejected him. He has become the cornerstone of the church. That's Jesus. Rejected by humans, but yet elevated on the cross, and in all of his power, he redeemed the world through that act on the cross. You know, so the ultimate act of rejection, the crucifixion of Jesus, was really an act of victory. He emerged victorious from that and did defeat death. Let's look at the responsorial psalm. The responsorial psalm is going to key in on that that verse from Psalm 118, "The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone." And that is the responsorial psalm, Psalm 118. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness endures forever. The stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone." And, you know, I think it's important for us to step back and talk about this a little. And what we see here is an example of the power of Jesus and how he can take something that was meant for evil. I mean, no doubt about it, the people who crucified him, it wasn't an accident. They deliberately intended to kill him, to have him die on the cross. That was their intent. Their intent was evil. They were motivated by evil, no doubt about it. But the Lord was able to take that evil and work with it. You know, he certainly doesn't will evil. That's what the church teaches, that he doesn't will evil, but he can use it and bring good out of it. Now, the reason that's so powerful, if we look at the evil of death, if we look at the evil of somebody attacking us in some way or trying to do harm to us. It doesn't have to be physical harm, but trying to harm us in some way. The Lord can take that and use it for good. And I think once we start to understand that, then much of the fear we have will vanish because we realize that, yes, this thing, whatever it is that I'm facing, it might look bad right now. It might look like things are really bleak for us. And there's no good that can come out of it. But if we look at the crucifix and we remember what Jesus did on Calvary, what he accomplished, that great act of evil in which people killed him on the cross, that act of evil by those who wanted to kill him, that was transformed into an act of mercy. And by that evil action, something really good happened. Our redemption. We were redeemed. The gates of heaven were opened to us. And we were able to live forever in heaven. So keep that in mind as you face whatever you're facing today. And I'm sure we're all going through something. And you might be going through something really difficult right now. And you might think, well, how is any good going to come out of this? Well, I would really point you. And it's not easy when you're in the midst of this. When you're in the midst of suffering, it is not easy to accept it as having the potential to be used for good by God. But if you look at the crucifixion and you keep your eyes focused on that cross, then you'll remember, or you'll see an example that the Lord can truly bring good out of something evil. And hopefully that's going to give you some sort of hope, bring you some sort of comfort today, if indeed you are facing something challenging in your life. Let's look at the second reading now. It's the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, you know, as I read this and I think back to the first reading, the responsorial psalm, and some of the things we read in the gospel, we see this idea of the world rejecting Jesus. And, you know, this is nothing new. The world still rejects the message of Jesus in so many ways, while not necessarily explicitly saying it. The teachings of Jesus and his church right now, they're not exactly popular with so many people. And the world is not exactly embracing a message of Christianity, right? I mean, the message is definitely countercultural. And Jesus is rejected in so many different ways by our society. Again, not always explicitly, but there's definitely that element of the rejection there. So when you look at that gospel today, when Jesus talks about the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, talking about the wolf coming. Well, the wolf is the world. The wolf is society who is attempting to destroy or at least nullify the message of Jesus. And the point is, Jesus willingly laid down his life, as clearly stated in the gospel. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. And that was done out of love. You know, a lot of times we can look at the crucifixion of Jesus and obviously recognize that that crucifixion, the suffering he endured on the cross, brought about our redemption. We were redeemed. We were made good again in God's eyes, if you want to call it that. But and I remember reading this somewhere, so this is not original, but I like this. It wasn't suffering that redeemed us on the cross. It was love. It wasn't the fact that Jesus just hung on the cross and suffered that redeemed us. It was his willingness to do so out of love. So we were redeemed not by suffering, but by love, which in turn caused our Lord to suffer on the cross. That's an important, it's a subtle, but an important distinction that I think is worthy of being made. It's something that each one of us can remember when it comes to our own lives and our own crosses, whatever we may be facing. You know, no matter what you're enduring today, if it's unpleasant, if it's uncomfortable, and again, it can be any number of different things, it can be offered up and united to the suffering of Jesus so that we can help him with his mission. We can share in the mission of Jesus. Honestly, that's hard sometimes to remember if you're in the middle of suffering. But it can also give meaning to that suffering, which in turn can lessen the effects of the suffering. It can bring you peace in the midst of suffering. So a lot of important concepts here, all folded together under this theme of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd knows how to protect the sheep. The Good Shepherd will even lay down his life for the sheep because that's what was necessary. And then ultimately, Jesus emerged victorious as he defeated death and he transformed death. This is what, you know, this is the kind of things we need to think about, especially during the Easter season. This idea that Jesus defeated death. He rose from the dead. And that means he's alive. And we want to keep remembering that. You know, we're not talking about a good shepherd who died 2,000 years ago and can't help us. We're talking about a good shepherd who died 2,000 years ago, but 3 days later rose from the dead and is alive today. Therefore, he can help us. He can lead us. He can walk with us through life. No matter what you are going through in life, you're not going through it alone. It might feel like it. But I think that's critical for us to remember that the Lord is always with us and the Lord can help us. And he proved his love. Sometimes we all, maybe I think at one time or another, question, well, does Jesus really love me? Does he really know who I am? And when we think about what he endured for us, that's the proof. You know, he certainly proved it when he was hanging on that cross. And I think it is critical that we remember the fact that he did that willingly. He was bigger than those people who put him to death. At any point in time, he could have stopped the mission. He could have done away with them. He could have come down off of that cross. He could have prevented himself from ever being captured in the first place. But he didn't. And, you know, you and I, when we look at this, we think, wow, that is a crazy plan. This is how we were redeemed. But when we think about that, we have to really remember that this is God's plan. God is the one who decided how this process of redemption would play out. And it also gives us an idea of the damage done by sin. It caused Jesus to undergo what he went through on the cross. That's how damaging sin can be. But the good news is, death was defeated. Jesus accomplished his mission. He rose from the dead. He is with us today. You don't have to face anything alone. He's going to walk through life with you. And as long as you continue to follow him, and that's key too, to follow him, to let him lead. After all, he's the shepherd. He's going to keep us out of danger. If we follow him, then one day we'll be able to live with him forever in heaven, where there is no more suffering, where we're going to finally find that complete peace and happiness that we seek here. You can only get so far in this life because this is a fallen world. There is suffering in this life. But at some point in time, we'll be able to break free from that suffering and live in the total happiness of heaven. But the key is to follow the Good Shepherd, to follow Jesus, who loves us and was willing to lay down his life so that we could live with him, not just in this world, but forever. He wants us forever. And that is a very comforting thought, the fact that he loves us that much. Well, we are just about at the end of the program. I want to thank you for listening today. And really, as I said at the beginning, I'm grateful for your donations, for your kind words, for your prayers. You have enabled me to remain in full-time ministry for 12 years, going on 13 now. So thank you, thank you, thank you. If you, again, would like to find out more about my work, or if you would like to make a contribution to my ministry, I could certainly use it. I would just invite you to visit followingthetruth.com, and you can do that securely on the website. You do that through PayPal, so everything is securely done when you go to the website and click on the Donate tab. I also want to remind you what I said about the book at the beginning, Find Peace in Advent. That's going to be out any day now. I'm not sure. Well, it's going to be pre-orderable at any point in time. I haven't been given an exact date, but it's going to be very soon where you can pre-order it. Once I find out more about when the book will actually be released, I will let you know. And again, you're going to be hearing a lot more about it, especially as we get closer to Advent. But we're still in Easter. We're not gonna rush things. Anyway, I do want to thank you once again. And remember, you're in good hands. The Good Shepherd is with you. Remember that I am praying for you every day. And don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed. You know, it's difficult sometimes because we all have problems that we face, and it can be challenging. Just remember that the Lord is with you. And if he allows you to experience some suffering, whatever it may be, he intends to bring good out of it. And, you know, at times we're all going to doubt that. And that's when we have to look to the crucifix and remember what Jesus did and how he brought good out of that really evil set of actions. And if he could bring good out of the crucifixion, he can bring good out of anything that you and I are facing as well. You don't always have to feel it, but I would just invite you to remember that and to know it through faith that the Lord always can bring good out of any evil or any suffering that you and I experience. Well, thanks again for tuning in. God bless you. I look forward to joining you next week on the program. Bye-bye now.